I've got a lot of arguments, a lot of people over there. Amen.
Record this for your trial, brother.
All right.
Okie doke. Is that time limit? You want about 30 minutes? Is that what that's? Yeah. Okay.
That's preach.
Oh, okay. All right, that's just giving me the time, right?
Yeah, I understand.
All right, that's it. All right, amen. Well, I've been in the work of evangelism now for 15 years, and all my direction has been young people. And I can't get away from that. I tried to pastor, but God didn't open the door. Couldn't go to pastor. I even tried grace. We'll deal with that. And God just wouldn't let it happen. And I don't want to go anywhere that God don't want me to go. You know, I don't want to make my doors. You know, I don't want to try to make my own doors. And the Lord will direct your path. He'll take you where He wants you to go. And it's such a thing to be in a place where it's poor and rich. Ain't that something? That's something. I was helping young people up on top of Sand Mountain with Brother Frazier. And we was working with all the young people, and that tornado came through there and tore that whole thing down. Dr. Robertson's tabernacle that was devoted to him. I went out there one night before that the tornado had torn it apart. I was out there walking around on the grounds. And the Lord's just meditating and praying. And God said, don't you realize Dr. Robertson walked around on these grounds and asked God to touch his young people? And I said, I realize that, Lord. And I want you to realize that in the area of myself is that the same God that touched those young people with Dr. Robertson is the same God that can touch you.
Yes,
God can do the same thing that He did with them. You can do it with you. No different. It's not God, young people. It's you. It's not God. God's very well able. It's you. It's not God, preachers. It's us. You know, He still does great things. We all say that. But He can. I don't know this area of faith. I'm going to get away from the message, but the area of faith, but God has proven my faith after all these years, Brother Ashford, 35 years of preaching. When my daughter came down with cancer, 4 stages, brother, I got in a place of praying whether or not I was touching God or not. I got out on my knees and I got earnest with God. I got real with God. I quit playing the game and quit going around hollering about Him and talking about Him and saying, boy, He's a great God and He saved my soul. And He's all, I'm just thank the Lord. And I preach His Word and everything else just going out. And boy, His Word was great, heavy. But God said, I got on my knees. I said, my God, my daughter's going to die. She's supposed to die. She's supposed to live. Said, I told you, I'm going to die. 4 stages. And I got overwhelmed. I preached it. So I was right here. I preached overwhelmed. I was in Kentucky. To all, you just didn't care about nothing. That's my youth conference. We have it in March. It's going to be something this next year. It's going to be something. You all invited. You're invited. I hate it, but Brother McVeigh's going to preach. You come on in. Come on anyway. I gotta let him go, and you know, I don't want to, but I just, you know what I mean. There's just something about him. I just don't know what it is. I just love him. I don't know what it is. I ain't figured it out yet. And just why do you love somebody like that? For I don't know what I love you. I don't love you, man. Anyway. I tell him now, don't get offended now when I say Yankee, all right? Don't get all offended about it. But I mean, all right, don't get offended with him. And when I first met him, I come up to him, remember, and he's like a college. You're the only Yankee I ever liked. I thought my nose would be right there. I'm not even seeing. I looked up at him. He's the only Yankee I ever liked. And
when he called me, he said, "This is the only Yankee that you ever liked talking to you." You know? So, we have a conference. It's my seventh year. And it's a good time.
But I've been with young people. We're working with them. I'm an old man. I don't know why I'm still working with young people. I'm an old man.
Let me get into the message. You know, we got all week to get to know. Boy, I really like your singing. Especially you ladies. Them boys, they need a little help.
You young ladies can sing up a storm.
Yeah. Ain't that wonderful? They sing, man. They touch your heart. Every time y'all start singing, it just starts a flowing in me, buddy. Got Brother Tim back there crying, as hard as he is, you get him crying, man, you've done something. You know, I looked over, he was a weeping, and I was a weeping. You know, it's good, man. Good, man. Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, let me hurry and get in it. Matthew chapter 11. Now, you ought to be as fast as a sword drill. Amen. Let's see if we can get in there real quick now. Hey, you know what, sister? She wouldn't have been in that thing. You got up the same time as that other one did once, but she come up talking. That's where you missed out. She come up and reading, and you stood up and you was going to start to read. She was reading as she was coming up. That's why you got beat, buddy. Because you looked over, she was coming up reading, buddy. And I said, she didn't see that. That was a move, buddy. You're going to have to stipulate you got to be at a full sense of attention before you start reading. Because some of them start reading as they come up, you know. So she won, and I just thought I'd let you know that in case you. Where are you at? Is that the one? You're the one? Which one beat you? This one right there. Was it? She come up a reading, buddy. I watched her. All right, let's read the Word of God. Let's stand in reverence for God's Word. I got to get into this. This preacher's got more men than he wants to preach. I'm going to read just one word, three verses, 28 through 30. And everybody knows these verses, 28 through 30. Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's salvation. That's positional there. I will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you." There, so here you go. "And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." That's progressive. That's a journey that's going on through life. First, positionally, is you will give you rest. God gives you salvation. Then, what do? He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me. "And ye shall find rest." You'll be finding rest as you go with the journey. Hey, how many people are finding rest? They're mostly restless.
Yeah.
Never seen such a restless society. Let me read on. "And ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You may see. I want to preach just a few minutes on lighten up and live. Lighten up and live. Because you're going to die in the state and the condition you're in. I never seen such a spastic, restless, anxious, running generation. You're caught in a system and caught in a society that's going to run you to death. You need to lighten up and live. You need to lighten up. How am I going to do that? You're going to have to learn how to live for Jesus. And then for sake of, if anybody's taking note, I'm sure it's your life. I was watching her write them notes down. You know what I want to do, sister? I never wanted to do this. I was going to lean up her and say, would you let me read your notes? I really didn't want to do it. I mean, I said, no, don't you do that lady that way. She don't know who you are. I never have wanted to do that before, but she's a writer. I wonder what in the world she's writing. I said, he ain't saying that much. I know it as much as she's writing. Hell, he ain't saying that much. She's writing up a storm, buddy. And I said, I want to read your notes. Amen. Can I? Amen. Can I, please? Amen. You know, the need of well lighten up and live. I never seen such a generation. They're depressed.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the often depressed generation. My Savior is not like that. Amen.
Amen.
He's a great and loving and wonderful, mighty Savior. He can take the yoke.
Okay, so you're writing down notes. Somebody got some notes? Or am I writing anything? You going to write anything? You going to write something? Say, I said something. Yeah. You said, this is what Brother Hardy said. This. Why? Your. O. On. K. Time. E. Experience. Your. Own. Kind. Of. Experience. That's your yoke.
You want to yoke up with Jesus? You're going to find out your own kind of experience, not somebody else's, not your neighbor's, not another preacher, not another. It's going to be your own kind of experience. What kind of experience are you going to have with God down from the day you was just young till you get 180 years old like me and get real old? What kind of experience have you going to have with God? What is your experience with the Lord? Our preacher, Brother David. Oh, what is our experience? What was the yoke that God put me in 35 years ago? I'm yoked up with Jesus.
Amen.
I didn't yoke up with religion. And I didn't yoke up with some kind of denomination. Not a Baptist, all right? I didn't yoke up with a denomination. I yoked up with Jesus, buddy. I got in the yoke with a man named Jesus. He's a greatest friend. He's a powerful friend. He's a mighty friend. He's a loving friend. He's a rejoicing friend. He's an emotional friend. He's a singing friend. Amen.
Jesus.
He ain't just dead, unorthodox, a bunch of things that are religiously educated and being able to concentrate and raise the next game all over. Buttered teeth. You say, where'd you get that from, Ed Blue? Say, where'd you get that? That's that old man. He talked about how, what was this thing he was trying to bring up on me about, I'm going to take Brother Harvey up here and show where the north went to south or something, you know? What was that he said? He said, I want to show him what his heritage has done to him.
I said, you done got it wrong, Brother McVeigh. I'm not one of them. I'm a Cherokee Indian, bless God. I'm going way back before that bunch.
I go back before that, like I'm a Cherokee Indian. I was the one that they pushed out of the country and run them out into the west and gave them all that reservation. Now I ain't nothing but a bunch of drunks.
Yeah.
That's all they are. You know. That's what's going to happen to our country with giving everything to you.
Yeah.
I was over a brother preaching at his church and I gave him three little basic things about life. You know, I'm going to preach that, brother. There's three of me. You just got to watch me. I'll go anywhere. I don't need to give this. I need to preach this. But I guess what I gave that brother David over Vernon. A very simple thing. They were in that Babylon, right? Now hold on. Hold on. Y'all see what I'm going to say. They were in Babylon. The children of Israel. They're going to be there for 70 years. And they wouldn't know what to do. And Jeremiah told them, he said, this is what you do while you're dwelling in the Babylon system. We're dwelling in the Babylon system now, ecclesiastically and commercially. That's the preachers, they'll understand what I'm saying. Some of them don't even know what the books of the Bible are. You know. And they think they've done hillbillies down there, don't even know how to read. You better be real careful out there because they can get you real quick. Anyway, you're going to get down simple. Build
you a house.
Boy, that's complicated. Well, what the, would you please give me the Hebrew, the Methodist text on this thing about build a house? And maybe it says something else on our side, build a house. It says it very simple. Get to work, boy, and build a house. It's very simple. Go to work, big boy. Get off the couch and quit going out there. And go to work. It's very simple. You know, step back if you're lazy, dog. Get out the door. That's Tennessee vernacular, I'm saying. Get up and work, son. I don't get out of the bed and go to work. You know? Then bear your heritage. That's what it says, bear heritage. You know, I don't know how these sodomites are going to do this, but anyway.
Yeah.
He said, bury your heritage. You know what you're supposed to do, ladies? I'm sorry, this is very complicated to have babies.
Woo! Have babies? You know what? You mean I'm supposed to have babies? That's the only way you can bear a heritage. Tell that to these sodomites. How are they going to bear a heritage in America? But it was the same sex stuff. That's what's wrong with it. You're trying to say it's all right. God says, how can you bear a man, a baby, and be two men?
Can't do it right.
But the idiot.
Amen.
Nature teaches you better than that.
Yeah.
Nature will teach you better than that.
Right.
You say y'all not calling things like that. That is sort of demoralizing to their character.
Their character is going to hell. What's wrong with
that? That's right.
That's why you all, why you saying things like that? God said it. God said it. What he said, he said it out of that book. Said it out of that Bible. You do believe the Bible is the Word of God, don't you? You do believe that Bible is the Word of God. I ask you, young people, do you believe that Bible is the Word of God? No. Oh, yeah, I do. Do what he says. Do what he says, amen. God says it. God says it. God. It ain't what no man's got to say. It's what God's got to say.
Yeah.
I'm not up here to debate the issues.
Right.
I'm not up here in a political forum. I'm not up here to tell you my policy. I'm up here to declare the Word of God.
Yeah.
God told the man of God, I'm declaring it. I'm not debating it. I'm not worried whether you like it or not. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. God said for us to declare it. Not debate it. Not get on the political platform. But get in that pulpit and just declare the saith the Lord, amen.
Are you ready to do that?
Well, I'm going to ask you one thing. The only way you're going to ever get saved is believe that book.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It comes by the Bible.
Right.
You can't believe anything you can't ever heard of.
That's right.
Well, how did I hear of Jesus? By that book. By that book. That's how important the Bible is. That's how important the church is. That's how important it is for you to be a preacher or be a teacher or be a witness. When you get born again of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, you'll declare what has happened to you by the Word of God. By the Word of God.
Amen.
You didn't get saved by having a picnic going up and down your spine. You didn't get saved by some kind of emotion or how you felt that. Now there is repentance. Now there is godly sorrow. Understand that. But you get saved by faith. In the
Amen.
Word of God, buddy.
Amen.
You'll return, you'll repent of your sin.
Amen.
You'll turn under conviction. Your repentance will be toward God because you offended God. Your repentance will be toward God. You can come to this altar and cry all you want to over your circumstances.
Yeah.
You can cry over all the things that you got into, hurting, pain, sexual immorality, everything else. You can come up here and cry about that all you want to. It's a painful thing. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Make you pay more than you want to pay. That's what sin will do to you. Sin will ruin you. Sin will destroy you. Satan will destroy you. And you come up there and cry about it. I don't like what the results is going on in me. I don't either. I never hate what, I never did like what sin will do.
Right.
But if you come to that altar during this week with godly sorrow, this is what you say, God, I've sinned against you.
Yeah.
I've sinned against God. I've sinned against God. And you'll repent. You'll turn from your sin. And you'll put faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
your faith will be in Christ. Why? Because he took the penalty of sin for you.
Right.
He died for your sin. I'm telling you, young people, this is such a day that they never heard. I was preaching on a storefront, and there were druggies and dope heads and everything sitting in there. I mean, the awful thing you've ever seen. You know, and they were laying on each other, sitting there, and one of them, you know, just met marked up and everything else, and just sitting there, you know. And I started preaching to them, I preached to them, you want to see Jesus? That old boy, one of them, he just got up on the edge of the seat. Sitting there looking at me. I just preached this simple, Brother Ashford, just simple about Jesus coming in the flesh and being born and going back to heaven and everything else. He just looked. And it's just a simple little message on Jesus coming down on the scene. And he got up after that. And he was going out the door. He come up to me, Brother Davis. Awesome. 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 That's a pretty simple message on Jesus' life, really. Awesome. I said, well, amen. The only problem was there wasn't no conviction there. You know, he heard the story. He heard about it. And he said, oh, yeah, I hear it. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to get a hold of your heart. God's going to take you alone by yourself. God's going to go down the road with you. And what's he going to say? You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. You walk down the road, or you go to your house, or you lay down in your bed, or you go down and talk to somebody, and all of a sudden somebody, you know you're lost. You know you're lost. You know you ain't Satan. You know you don't know the Savior. And let me tell you something. Don't measure your ability to be able to know the Savior by you putting on a dress, or you taking off the guard, or putting all this on. You know how you know that you measure how you know the Savior. Somebody comes into your heart. Somebody, and the joy of the Lord will fill your soul. And all of a sudden you'll be so happy. You'll be so happy. You'll be so happy. I'm going to give you a little illustration that is a perfect example of it. My niece was an artist. She drew portraits. I don't ever preach what I got in. How can I ever do that? Anyway, I ain't done it in 35 years, brother. And I even apologize to God when I go out the door. I said, well, you preach what you got. You run from the message. My pastor, Brother Jones, stayed with the text, proved the context that we got. He's a doctor. He's a Bible teacher in King James, man. James Jones, too. Yeah. One night, I sat in my house, I passed the nail. One late night, we couldn't put that yoke down unless you write the check. Praise God. Amen. So, get it, that's a distraction. Anyway. I was sitting there. She's writing notes, I think. Writing home, I get a letter from Vietnam. Amen. Mail call, amen. Mail call. Somebody asked me, amen. Get out there in the jungle and all of a sudden. Mail call, boy. And just drop your gun. Boy, got a letter from home. Got a letter from home. Because anything from home. My niece came down there. She was an artist. She drew portraits. She sat down in the pits of all the mass cars, and she painted the portraits on the front of Motor Trend and everything. She'd go down in the pits, and they'd sit there, and she'd draw. 4-year graduate art school down in Tampa. I'd witness to her when she was home a lot. She'd come. They got back. They come home in terrible shape. And she'd be in the house, and I said, heard you home, and then I talked to her about the Lord. She'd look at me. You make my head burn. I said, Brenda, I just want to tell you about the Lord. You don't fight with him. You know, so you don't fight with him.
Right.
I'm going to say that's the Lord. So I went on. Time, months and months went on. She kept getting in terrible shape mentally, and getting under conviction. God's dealing with her about her the way she was, and she's about to go crazy. Is that the right vernacular? Insane? Her mind is confused. Going crazy is what they're doing. They're going crazy.
I've never seen such a crazy society. I mean, that's not the way you put it, is it?
Crazy!
Good.
Amen. I've never seen such craziness.
You wouldn't want to live with me, would you? My daughter loves me, I promise you. So, she called me, or come down the house, years later. Well, this I got to give you one more experience, and then I'll post something in here, and I'll put it. She come down there. Well, no, let me get this first. I was working at that time. I was working the job of an analyst in the church, in the plant, and had all the degrees, school, and all that stuff, engineer, and all that junk. Going up the ladder, had a big home, had all the fine stuff. Even had a jet where I flew around and played ball with. The governor of Tennessee let us ride his jet to go play ball in California, Cleveland. But I was pastoring at that time, all that. And so I was on the job, and I was running down there. She's down there with a little car. She was fixing the car. The fenders was gone, the thing. I mean, she had all kinds of wrecks and cars, and her car fenders were blown all apart. And I mean, it was getting bad for her. And I pulled up at the gas station. She's sitting there looking at me, and I said, Gwen, leave me alone. Won't you leave me alone? She started screaming at me. Leave me alone. I ran right face up to my nephew, which is a preacher. I said, she's getting in good shape. Let's pray. Let's pray, man. I said, she's getting in good shape. Let's pray, buddy. So we got down with her praying. We were praying, God, get her. God, work on her. God, where he is, man. How's he glad to get you anyway? He got to pull you to a place and get you in a place. If you get to a place where you're at, you want to say, God, help me. God, help me. Do you have to go there? Or could you be just committed today and just yield to God right now and still have to go all the way down that way and get to the depth of sin and get so far? Why don't you just come back today? Amen. And save from all of that.
Right.
You don't have to go that way. So, I was at the house getting ready to go to church that week and that. She knocked on the door. I'm talking about when Jesus comes in, what happens? Knocking on the door, and it's raining, Brother McVeigh. There she stood, higher matted down. I mean, she looked bad. I'm not talking about all the garden doors. She didn't have all that. She was about to fall apart. She said, I went to a doctor. He said, for me to see a psychiatrist or a preacher. I said, who wonder who that doctor was? I don't know who wonder a doctor tell somebody to go see a preacher. See a psychiatrist or a preacher, and I've come to see you. I said, praise God, I didn't say that. I said, let's go down to the den. We went down to the den, brother, and I'll finish this because we got other men to preach. I ain't doing much preaching, but I'll sure enjoy telling you. So we went down to the den. Say, you always like to get picked on. No, not you. I want your wife this time. That noise. Say, now you sit right here on that corner. Now I'm way away from her. Now, I mean, even with Gwen's there. Now, I want you to say these things, but I want you to be doing like this. now we sat down and started. Yeah, I mean, get tore up. I mean, tore up. Tore up. She tore up, man. And I'm sitting, I'm Uncle Donnie now. This is my niece. I'm Uncle Donnie. But she's a crying. She ain't said nothing. No. Don't answer me when I ask you this. I'm going to tell you what to say. She's tore up now. She's tore up. Tore up. That's okay. Just sit out there. I said, Gwen, are you saved? And she's going, now that she tore up. And she looked around at me and she said, no. She was raised in church. She knew all about it. She went to the depths of sin. She was raised as a kid in the church. And she knew what I was saying. She was only saved. And she had took a lot for her to say, no. She said, no. Well, because I don't want you to do what disrupt your character. Bunch up here is a little starchy. I'll learn how to shout. So. And learn all that. You young ladies learn about before it's over. You come down there, not come down to my conference, dude. You might just have some screaming girls. You know. She's really tore up from him. And it took a lot to say that. And she kept crying, preacher. She just kept crying. And she didn't put it word verbatim. She said, you know, she didn't say, what must I do to be saved? But she said, what I got to do to be saved? Well, I took my Bible out and I hate to Jesus scriptures on the doctrine of repentance. Let me talk to you exactly about what repentance is all about. You know, I mean, let me say to you exactly, this is exactly what it means, you know, and all this and that. What did you say to her? What did he say to that Philippian jailer? He said, what must I do to be saved? And he turned around now. Now listen, you need to repent and take care of all she said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him. I know all of that's in there about repentance, but that ain't what you need to say that time. Believe. You've got to have faith. You've got to trust Jesus. You already repented of your sin. You already mourned over your sin. You already cried over your sin. You already broken over your sin. You're now weeping over your sin. Now you've got your head in your hands, and you're crying about what sin does to you, and you're weeping over your sin. I don't need to tell her that she needs to learn how to weep and tell her, I want to see you groaning on the altar. I don't need to tell her that. Well, you tell her, believe, 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 amen.
That's what saves. Faith is what saves. Faith saves, not your crying over your sin. Your repentance don't save you.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Amen.
This is what happened. I believe that salvation is in the will.
Yes, sir. That's what it says.
Yeah. It's in the will.
That's what it says.
Not in the emotions.
Nope. Yeah. That's right.
Not in the intellect. Not in the intellect, not in your mind, not in your thoughts, not in your emotions. You can feel that out. You want to. It's in your will.
Hey,
it's in your will. It's in your will.
Hey.
Receive the Spirit of God by the works of faith or by the works of. Receive the Spirit of God by works or by faith? Had you received the Spirit by your works? No, you didn't receive the Spirit by your works. You received the Spirit by faith. You ready? I'm going to demonstrate her receiving the Spirit. I will. She said, what's happening? She knows what she said. What's happening? I never felt like this. I never felt this kind of joy. I never felt this kind of way. I never felt this way. And she said, she will. I said, she will.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Yep. Hey.
Amen.
You can get an emotional fit all you want to. You can cry all of your sin all you want to.
Yep.
You can get in trouble all you want to. You can go out there and have all kinds of bad and feel all bad about it you want to. Go all that around. That don't change you. I don't say what saved you. You've got to put faith in the Lamb of God that shed his blood for your sin, that died, buried, rose again, and is alive evermore in the heavens. And when you get saved, that living God comes in your heart by the work of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, all he does is work joy, love, peace, and he'll make you happy. Amen. He'll make you come up and down. You say, well, they were leaving and praising God. Going into the temple, leaving, amen.
so disciplined, you stink.
Yeah.
Dead! When I get saved, you're alive. You're alive. Well, they'll come to church. They get saved. They'll go to church. They go to church. They'll be doing good. Oh, that's all right. That's it, probably so. When you get saved, let me tell you what happens. Let me tell you again. Woo! What's going on? What's going on? What's happening in my heart? What's taking place in my life? Who is this that's coming to my heart? It's Jesus, friends. It's Jesus. He comes in and he gives you joy and love and peace. He gives you goodness and love. He's a wonderful, wonderful person to yoke up with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they won't yoke up with Jesus, or you just won't yoke up with anything. That ain't even on there. I had this thing a long time. I gave it to another pastor, probably. So, see, on Sunday mornings, I can preach it all out. On Sunday night, I have to be in bed form. You know, you give it all you got on Sunday morning, don't you? You know, studied all night, prayed all night. Don't ever get around me because I'm sorry. I started preaching 35 years ago. I can't find a place to shut up.
Amen.
Even when I get in the motel, it's like I don't know about this morning. You know, we're all going, what we do is over there talking about preachers, everybody else. You want to yoke up with the Lord Jesus this week? Maybe you ain't got any yoke yet. Never have got any. It's a reality, young people. It's a reality. And brethren, I know that we're living in a hard time. And the Lord and the devil are working on us in big time with our country, the conditions. And look at the foreign field. They're receiving it over there.
That's right.
They're without anything, you know.
That's right.
But we can't neglect our own kids.
No, no,
we can't let our own slide around us, too. I'm going to finish my ministry trying to get my grandkids to Jesus.
Amen. Stay back.
If I can get that thing up our pigeon forge and get all these Baptist brothers to learn how to... It's an impossibility. That is an absolute impossibility to get the Baptists together. To get a bunch of preachers to cooperate. I told somebody the other day, I said, I've found that one thing impossible with God. Now, of all things is possible with God, but what was it? I said, I found out one thing's impossible. I don't think it is.
No.
That we can get revived. Mm. You know, brothers, these men come in here and, you know, I've been through all the fighting and just come up and shoot. And I know you could be sort of leery, you know. He was down there among all this stuff, you know, and I don't know if he might not come in here and start the same kind of junk going on that's going on down there. I don't like it, brother. I just shut the line and get out of it. I don't want no part of it. I don't want no part of it. I want to see us do something for God, Brother Keenum. I can see the burden in your heart to get these young people to God. And I can see you allowing this preacher to try to help your young people and everything else. And it started from the young people. And there's a great moving on young people right now. I believe God's trying to get you in before He's coming back. He's got not close to coming back. The Lord's right at the door, buddy. It's the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. It's more so right now. So what are you going to do? I'm going to try to reach some of you young people. What are you going to reach them with? I'm going to reach them with the gospel. I don't need to entertain them. I don't need to play games with them. I let them do it at home. Let them do it every day. You come into the house of God. You need to see the Lord. You need to see how somebody knows God. You need to come and give your life. I'm totally dedicated unto God for all, everything. How what is it? The gospel to tell your girlfriend, to tell your boyfriend about a Savior that's got in your heart. Down in one meeting this week, that God comes out with the home with you, with out your car with you, with your house with you, with wherever you're at, and all of a sudden, He gets in your heart. My daughter got saved in her family.
she was lost, amen. And she said, Dad, I found nothing to Jesus, so sweet, you know, Jesus, come in my heart, forgive me my sins. She wasn't even a bad girl. Yes, she is, you're wicked, every one of them. My daughter, every one of them, there's nothing good, no, not one. But it's a matter of her way of living. But she had nothing. And she said, she come in this heart, come in her heart. She's still you, 47 years old. Now hold on, you ladies. Now I'm not trying to hurt you. She had to dress modest as a preacher's daughter. She was wanted. She wanted to be like the rest of them. She wanted to do like that, but she had to do it because she was the cheese of she was in the house.
Right.
She didn't like it. That night she bowed down on the bed and asked Jesus to save her. She became a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. And now after soon being 16 years old and she's 47, she's still wearing that dress. And she wears it in the joy of the Lord. She rejoices that she could be that for Christ. And young lady, I mean you, she was in a public school too.
That's right.
And just what? When she gave her life to Christ, she started living that life for Jesus. The first person she won in the school was a black boy. That's what I'm going to do with it. Bring him to church. I'll bring him, you know, bring him to church. Because I'm running to church, you know. We tried to help him as best we could because you don't get to work with him back. Why do you do it all? You know our battles. You know our battles.
Yeah.
Racism and all that stuff, you know. Yeah. You've got to battle that. And preachers got to try to figure out, be wise about it. You got to handle it. And it's scripturally, and my goodness, it causes a lot of problems. It's going to. But you better take the scriptural understanding about racism, not what they're putting on that news. They ain't doing nothing but causing chaos in our country over racism.
Yeah.
They're causing our country to be upset, tore up all the time when they can understand the bottom of that through the Word of God and God will teach you exactly where there's going to be peace.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I'm supposed to quit, didn't I? Anyway, she got the joy of the Lord in her. I'm going to tell you something. After you get past 60, you forget real easy. You said 50 the other day. Was it you said that? No, I don't mean to say that. See, I didn't forgot who said it. I forgot who said it, you know. Are you saved?
Hey.
Saved? You remember the day the joy of the Lord came in? That bunch that are, hey, you don't reach that bunch on that mountain. They're dead, buddy. They're dead. And they got to sing in that song. It was on a Monday. Somebody. It was on a Monday. Something, you know, I hate that song. You know why I hate it? Because I gotta wait till you get all the way around to Sunday and then I get to go. And then when they come, all they come to the last thing they mention is Sunday. I said, we're changing that thing so I can get up first. Which gonna be it is on a Sunday. I can get up right there, amen. I can stand up the whole time, but I gotta wait 6 days. I gotta wait 6 days. The seventh day is the Sabbath, amen. So I'm gonna have a rest back on that seventh day. You know? That's Saturday though.
Well, you know, and hey, you got saved. Ain't this something? Hey, man.
You know it's good to serve the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I really did know a little bit about the Bible, I promise you. Just a little bit. And I ain't talking to these doctors right now. They're just watching, saying amen to me. And they're exhorting, you know what I mean? But when I get outside the door, y'all got to come to my aid because I'll probably get killed up there. So, you know, I have a bunch of young people get up behind me and say, we're behind you, Brother Harvey. I said, you better be. We're behind you at all. And I say, how far back are you anyway? You have a place. My daughter has it in her bed. I have mine in the pastor's study on the one Sunday morning. Jesus came into my heart on that Sunday morning in the pastor's study. 33 years old. Had it all, man. I had it all. Eyes on top. I had it all.
forgive me the way I'm just living, what I'm doing. Forgive me, Jesus. I made a confession at 12. I said, forgive me. From that moment on, my life changed. From that moment, it's not a matter of my outward apparel. That will be part of your life as a Christian. That will be part of it. What happens to you is somebody comes in your life. Somebody comes in your life. And every time you start to walk astray, you'll hear it. Every time you start to do something, they'll say, don't do it. And you'll say, I never did have that before.
Yeah.
Every time I start to take effort, don't do this. Yeah. You say, well, I told you you're going to grieve me.
Yeah.
You're going to break the fellowship with me. Ain't I sweet to you? Ain't I good to you? You don't want to grieve me. That's why you don't want to partake of it. If you're just doing it because it's a discipline in your life, you better watch out your picture go down. You don't want to yoke up with Jesus, preacher? Come on, get up. We're going to have to put the beam of balance, a balanced life.
Amen.
The beam, the yoke, balanced life. Now don't forget, I'm seeing, I'll let you be Jesus for that. Now don't get ahead of me. You know, you just stay right beside me. Don't get behind me, stay push. Stay right beside me. Ain't done, Jesus.
Yeah.
You're a good. Hey, good servant. You're the best friend I ever had.
Yeah.
Nobody better than you. You know how hard this load is right here? Just come on with me, buddy. I can pull. I can joke up with me for my burden's light. My burden's
light.
My burden is light. Why don't you just lighten up and let me live? Why don't you just joke up and lighten up and let Jesus live? Lighten up and let him live. Just yoke up with him this week. Get in the yoke with him, the balance of life. Lighten up and live, friend. When you get to singing about him and the way good as y'all is, saying, it'll be alright up here. They can. Praise the Lord,
people.
No,
they won't. They can't.
What the problem is that people are trying to make it. Don't get me wrong with that. We're trying to make it. It ain't going to be happening. It's going to come up from within you.
Yeah.
When you sing about Him, when you start singing about Him, it'll come up in you. It'll come up in you. All the thing you can do is raise your head and say, what's going on? Now smile when you sing. We got a big old little smile on. They don't have a little smile on now.
Yeah. You're right.
You don't got nothing smiling. If you get to working in you, you get to smiling.
Hey.
You get to smiling and say, you don't want to act like me. I promise you, don't act like me. I mean,
I get all kinds of compliments, but I mean, care and things. And see, I preach too long. So anyway. This prick, Dr. Webb, I know another doctor. I can't help it. These young men are doctors. Dr. Webb texted me the other day and he said, Brother Harvey, you ought to be proud of me. I preached 50 minutes today.
He just takes a smarty. Oh, smart. Them doctors are smart. You ought to be proud of me. I preached 50 minutes. He said, I normally preach 20 or 30 minutes. And I told him that normality is in between cold and hot.
That's Laodicea, bud. You ought to be hot. Zealous! Be you therefore zealous! Zealous! That's red hot!
Yeah. Hey.
I won't quit if you don't come up here, preacher.
Come on, brother.
Yeah. Thank God for preaching this.
Was it there?
Right on it. I mean, you know, when things like that happen, you better believe that God's trying to talk to you. When preachers are sitting in the same way, thoughts are going through them the same thing. God's directing them. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Harvey. Amen.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold
tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. What is it the church is after today everywhere you look? They're after nakedness. They're after Egypt. They don't want to be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyes to have. Preacher, I just don't see it. There's a reason. That thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Oh, I don't like that hard preaching. Jesus does it. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Then he says this, and this is what grieves my soul more than anything in the last 6 months. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. They don't even know he's out there. They think he's still in there somewhere. And he left a long time ago. And they got no idea he's out there yet. They don't know how he got out there. Because they wouldn't take his counsel. They wouldn't yoke up with him. You know what else you got to be good in a yoke? There's got to be some agreement. Or you're going to bucket that thing and chafe at that thing and you're going to hate it. Some of you might be sitting here this morning hating it. Because you don't agree. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Start agreeing with God and, man, that yoke fits good. It's easy. It's not difficult. In fact, you find out that it's so easy, you're not really doing anything. You're just going along for the ride. And the other one in the yoke is doing all the work. Now, you know what he'll do? He's so kind and so gracious. He'll lean over it once in a while and just say, "You're doing a good job." I said, "Wait a minute, I didn't do nothing." "Oh, but you're doing a good job." We need to get better at doing nothing. Now, some folks are good at doing nothing, but it's the wrong nothing. You get in that yoke, there's some work going on, but you didn't even realize you're working. And then when it's all said and done, before millions upon millions, he's going to look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And all you can say, "Lord, I didn't do nothing. I just went along for the ride. I just tried to please you, Lord. That's all I tried to do. I just wanted to do what you wanted me to do." Man, Lord, look at this thing. Man, I mean, look, you can't even explain it. As they say down in Carolina, where I came from, is this. Some things is better felt than tell. Amen. It's just good to be in that yoke.
Yes, it is. He's a great son. Love
to him that overcometh. Well, man, you mean I got to overcome to be saved? No. You got to overcome yourself. You got to overcome, amen, those attitudes. You got to overcome that chafing at the yoke and sit back in the yoke and let God direct. Let God use you. Let Him work through you. Let Him make you what He wants you to be. Oh, but what? Do you hear what he said? I will. Now you know what? She did! And she still does! Why? Because she's not chafing at the yoke anymore. One more thing about that song, Brother Harvey. I got saved on a Saturday. I had to wait till Saturday, man.
I'm sitting here going,
we're talking about that one, brother. They all going to get it.
I think y'all had one more verse.
Yes.
Amen. It, now it's on every day. He touches me. Amen.
Hey.
Every day. I go crazy near about every day. By the world standards, amen. But I'm, some folks think I've flipped, but I sure have enjoyed the trip, amen. He that hath an ear. I'm looking at folks with two of them on their head. But you have an ear this morning? Young people? Do you have an ear? He didn't say he had two ears. He said he's half and ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God's waiting for each one of us this week to tune our ear and listen and hear. God's still calling. He's still calling young people. He's still calling old people. He's still calling folks to salvation. He's calling them to sanctification and separation. And He's calling them to service. Will you hear? Will you hear? Maybe you're having a hard time hearing. Would you just say, Lord, make me able to hear? Can't hear you too good, Lord. Lord, what's in the way? Show me what's plugging my ear so I can hear this week. Amen. Let's sing one song. Think about that. Brother Tim, you're up next, brother. Would you mind coming up here and leading us to this song? Softly and tenderly. Amen. While your dear wife plays it, would you mind leading it? And then, brother, it's your pulpit. You go right ahead. Yes, sir.
Stand and sing. 303. Page number 303. Softly and tenderly. We'll sing all four. God's dealt with your heart. There's more tells you to do.
For you. third verse. You just think and reflect on some things that were said this morning. A lot was said. I'd be real slow to criticize. I've been criticized often, even accused of not preaching the Bible because there's times stray into some things that God, it's not stray because God puts in some things as preachers that need to be said. And there's things that the Lord wants to say. We do have an unction from the Holy Ghost. He said, thou knowest all things. God gives that preacher a message. And he stays in the confines of the Word of God in precept or in line. You better believe that message is for us. And how could that message be this morning if it wasn't for somebody here? I'm just going to say this. I don't see Brother Harvey. I don't know if he's still in the building or not. He did go change. He needs to change. So there's going to be a cold. Brother Vernon called me a while ago, a couple of weeks ago. It was just a week and a half. It hasn't been too long ago. And he said, you know, Matthew, my son's in the hospital. He's got pneumonia, and my wife's going to be with him. I need to make it to New York. I want to make it to New York because I hate driving up there by myself. You can take this for what it is. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to bother me a bit. I was up early that morning, and early for me, not for some of you. Early for me is, you know, 9, 10. But I was up a little earlier than that. And the Lord just impressed in my heart. I said, why don't you tell Brother Vernon to call Brother Harvey? He can drive it there. Brother Harvey's never been here. Very few of you have met Brother Harvey. I called Brother Vernon, I might have texted you, I think. I sent him a text, and I hope you don't think that's too wicked. And I told him, I said, you know, why don't you text Brother Donnie Harvey, see if he'll ride with you. And over the next week, Brother Harvey had to cancel something. He had to change his plan. He canceled a couple of things. He changed his plans. He was at Living Waters Baptist Church in North Carolina on Sunday. Came up Sunday night up to Pennsylvania, stayed. He was burning at a hotel near us. And he came up here to New York. And I think I know why. And I think some of you may have figured out why. God gave him a message from the church this morning. It wasn't just for the young people, it was for us. I had to repent. It's so cold. Because iniquity abounds, as love of many shall wax cold. I find that coldness creeping in on me towards sinners. They irritate me. They make me mad. And may God have mercy on the preacher that sinners irritate. I just repented this morning. I thank God for it. Thank God he sent us a man of God to preach. There's a lot of men of God here. Thank you all, brother, for coming. Thank you. God sent Brother Harvey here with a message to change. I want to thank the Lord for doing that for us. You don't have to like Donnie Harvey, but he is my friend. And I don't have any friends. Outside of a few families, a few folks, most of my friends are in this room in Austin. I don't have a lot of friends. But Donnie Harvey is my friend. I'll tell you why he's my friend. We're different as two people could possibly be. I'm Swiss, German, Irish. He's a Cherokee Indian. I'm sweet, kind, loving, compassionate. He's Donnie Harvey. He's from Tennessee. I was born in Kentucky. I always tell him that he never remembers, but as far as he's concerned, I'm just a cold-blooded Yankee. But our fellowship's in Jesus Christ. If you learn to fellowship with Jesus Christ, a lot of these differences, a lot of these oughts, a lot of these conflicts will be put away in your life if you learn how to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. You may see, baby, see, honey, thank you for playing. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. If If any of your preachers are jealous, you would be right ahead and be jealous. If you really wanted to follow that, I'd be glad to sit down if you could come up and preach. So I'm going to piddle around for about 25, 30 minutes, and we're going to go to lunch, okay? I mean, what do you say? I could preach his text. Amen. Somebody tell Brother Donnie I said that too. Amen. He didn't, so I could preach that text, maybe. Let's go back to James chapter number 4. Thank the Lord for the message. James, I said 4, I mean 3, but James chapter number 3. We started last night in this passage. He said, who is a wise man in verse 13, and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But then the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above, there is wisdom that comes from above. This wisdom comes from the light, this wisdom comes through Jesus Christ. Wisdom comes through the Word of God. That wisdom that comes from above, and we can identify it pretty easily. The Bible said it is first pure. People question a lot of times, you know, is that of God? I've actually been told, and may the Lord help us, but I've been told as I've even preached, I've been told by people just point blank, I don't think that was of God. Well, the identifier is it pure? First, it must be pure. There must be no motive behind wisdom that comes from above of impurity. A lot of us have ideals and thoughts, and we address life with motives, and therefore we think everybody else has a motive. And by the way, in things of this world, people do have motives. You give somebody something in the world, they want to know what you want from them. You know, you can't just give out of purity of your heart. They say, what's the catch? They've learned that this world will give as long as there's something in return. I've got things in the mail that have said, just, you know, send this card back. And we want to send you a free, and then you can name whatever it is, a little trinket or something like that. I've even got them from televangelists. You say, what's the catch? Well, you get a letter every 2 days from them. That's the catch. You see, what they're promising you something, but they want in return is your address so that you can be the sucker to send them up. The world has taught us that we give to get. By the way, religion's taught that too. I'll be honest, I'm just going to hit a pet peeve. You can do what you want with it. Most of the faith promise I've heard the last 10 years is if you give, God will bless you. And that's the motive, is to give. And I'm sorry if you preach it, that's fine, but that's the wrong motive. You teach people to give out of a willing heart, teach them how to give out of a heart towards Christ, God will give again to you. But the motive is not to give. The motive is to give. And most people, by the way, they give of what they have. They're not living by faith anyway. They're just acting like they do to appease people. Well, we got that out of the way. Thank the Lord. Wisdom is from above is first pure. Matthew 5 and 8 says, this blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. The purity of the heart is a matter that each and every one of us must search the hearts. Let God search the hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way. Is my heart pure? Are my motives pure? Is my reason to establish in religion, is it first pure? If it is not, it may not have been from above. My reason for joining up with religion, you'd be shocked how many people join up with religion because of the handouts, because of loneliness, because of the fringe benefits of being around other people. And by the way, if you hang out with Christians long enough and you learn how to milk the system, you can get your grass mowed and your roof repaired and new clothes and a new suit. And I mean, you can milk the system pretty good, but what's your motive? The things that are from above are pure. God's motives are always pure. God first examines us through purity. He is pure. He commands us to be pure even as He is pure. Philippians 4 and 8 deals with the mind. And amongst other things, whatsoever things are what? Pure. Think on these things. That is wisdom from above. We don't think on things of the earth. We don't dwell on the thoughts of the earth. We don't dwell on politics. We ought not to dwell on sports, religion, the study of religion, the aesthetics of religion, any number of venues. But he said, think on these things. In the middle of all those things, we ought to think on is purity. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. I would say that Jesus Christ is pure, so I think it would be okay to think on Jesus Christ. It's the opposite of verse 50. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Purity is not earthly. This earth can't understand purity. The treasures of the snow, the Lord says, are a picture of purity. There's nothing like a snowy morning, and all the blemishes are gone, and all the impurities are gone, and all the imperfections are gone. And all you see is that blanket of snow telling the world that your sins can be white as snow. But when the snow melts, what's underneath, especially in the winter, is still awful. What's underneath is still the deadness of the ground, the mud, the cinders on the road, the salt stains, the deadness and coldness of winter. God sends us a quick reminder that this is what purity will do for you, but when that picture of purity melts off, what is left is the actual reality of what this world is. And I realize this earth is groaning for redemption. The saints of God are groaning for redemption. Why? Because they want to be pure. They want to be rid of this robe of flesh. That in purity they can stand before God and again have a pure mind. And again have their mind made new in Jesus Christ. The reason we renew our mind is all the filth of our past. It's conjured up in this melting pot of the mind, and all the filth of who we are and all the filth of what we were is still in that mind. We think on pure things to try to block out the recesses of the garbage of the mind. One of these days, this mind will be clean. One of these days, his mind will permanently be pure. Never to think on sin and never to think on ungodliness, never to think on uncleanness again. Wisdom that comes from above is first pure. Secondly, he says this, then peaceable. God's wisdom is a peaceable wisdom. It's not war and it's not strife. Many men take the verse that, you know, when Jesus tells them to go buy a sword, and they take that as, let's take up arms and we'll go to war and we'll kill the abortion doctors and we'll be soldiers of the cross. And that's not exactly what he was saying there, in case you were wondering. God's people are a people of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. God still wants his people to be peaceful as much as dwelleth in you. If it's at all possible in you, you can dwell peaceably with all men. I don't believe the Lord would have told us that if it were an impossible thing. We can dwell peaceably with all men. Hebrews said that we have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit. That we can make peace not only with God, but we can make peace with man because of the peace we have made with God. We can go dwell peaceably with man. The peace of Jesus Christ is in us. By the way, that peace is an everlasting peace. It's not temporal. People say, well, sometimes I'm at peace, sometimes I'm not at peace. And, I wrestle back and forth. And, the peace of God is a perfect peace. It's not a temporal. The things this world I know can crush us. The things this world can destroy us. And it can remove some peace that we have, but as far as the peace of God, it can never take it away. We may not rest because of restless nights, because of things that have unsettled us and things that have troubled us, but it ought not ever be the peace of God that troubles us. It ought not ever be we can't sleep because of not having peace with God. And God's giving you restless nights because there is no peace. And God's giving you sleepless hours because there is no peace. And God's keeping you awake to try to reveal you what your condition really is. How dare we indict Him with not giving perfect peace when we've never made peace with Him? You make peace with God, He'll give you rest and peace. He'll let you rest in hope. The wisdom that comes from above is peaceable. It's not a warring wisdom. It's not a brawling wisdom. It's not a fighting wisdom. But rather, it's a wisdom to have peace with men. I've many times, of course, when you're an evangelist and you eat out more than you want to, you go to people's house and they have you on a visit, and you're hoping maybe you're finding a pot roast or a ham or maybe a roast turkey or a dinner, and they say, "Well, we're sure you all get a lot of meals, so we're going to take you out and tell you what restaurant you're going to." You just kind of sag your shoulders one more time. And I've been to some of the finest restaurants that not much money can buy. Amen. And we've been to some of the worst restaurants that money can buy. And I've watched people as they are so discontented and so angry over food and angry over, and think meals have to be perfect and meals have to be just right. Everything has to be just right in their life, and not just meals, but I mean the car attendant must be right, and the car wash has to be perfect, and they stir up strife because things aren't right. They stir up strife because of little discontentednesses that their flesh should have died to a long time ago, and they don't have peace, and they can't make peace because there's no peace in their heart concerning those things. Rather make peace with those that are without, they shun them.